My name is Mackenzie, and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child. The mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $2,499 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we gear up for a big weekend of Scottish football. Celtic will be first up in the title race, but is Daizen Maeda's season over due to injury? Surely game on this time for Rangers as they look to respond at Ross County on Sunday. And amid debate about Sporting, Fairness, Dundee, Motherwell and Hibs are all in the hunt for one remaining top six space tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, who else would you rather spend your Friday with? Simon Donnelly and Hugh Evans.
It's all about climate change, as you very well know, Gordon. The title race is hotting up, the battle to finish top six is hotting up, and the good news is Dundee are away from home at Aberdeen tomorrow, so all of our games in the Premiership will go on. But what a blow for Celtic ahead of the game against St Mirren at a sold-out Celtic Park. No Daizen Maeda. They'll find out the extent of his hamstring injury next week. It doesn't sound good. And how ironic, on the day that Mikey Johnson gets the award for his performances at West Brom.
I have to say, of everyone who must be shocked the most by the week we've had, it has to be the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundit who's not long back from the Sahara Desert. I mean, if one man is not used to these conditions, it must be you.
Yeah, well, we certainly have not had any sort of weather like the Sahara. I was up at Thurslow at the start of the week getting soaked coaching kids, and I came down by Perth on the way back on Wednesday night. It was teeming it down, so there was no surprise at that game. Obviously, the drainage issues at Dens Park We'll talk about it forever and a day.
Hopefully not, I have to say.
It's hit the UK, everybody's talking about it. But yeah, most importantly, we've got another full card this weekend. Big games to play, a lot to play for, especially in the middle of the table. The top two play again. But yeah, as Hugh says there, in a personal point with the Maeda, you know, the Celtic hat on, it's a concerning one because he's a big performer. You know, and we've seen how important he was against Rangers. And when I seen that news earlier today, my thoughts went straight to the Celtic Rangers game at Celtic Park because he's been so positive in that fixture. So, you know, from a Celtic point of view, hopefully it's not too serious.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. I am not naive enough to think that we're going to get through the entire show without talking about the Dens Park pitch and the drainage and climate change and where the game should or should not be played. But we do have other things on our mind tonight. So what about that? As Simon Donnelly alluded to, Celtic fans, no Daizen Maeda tomorrow, certainly. And then I think safe to say question marks over his availability for the rest of the season. How big a blow is that? How worried are you if that was to be the case? How much of an impact could that have on the title race? Who should replace him right now? And it feeds into what Brendan Rodgers spoke about, Mikey Johnson, player of the month in the Championship. Do you think he's got a future at Celtic, or does this actually show that he's best suited elsewhere? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, like I say, I don't think you're all completely over pitch gate. If you want to keep going, we're here for you. Maybe more specific comments on this weekend's game. It's Ross County. They're now obviously the chance. You go into that game a good bit behind Celtic. If they do their business, you'll have the games in hand. Does that do anything to the psychology? Do you buy into any of that stuff? Get all your thoughts in right now. Maybe you've got an entirely new take. Maybe that's the challenge for tonight. Have you got something to say about this pitch that we've not heard before? Because we've heard a lot on it. 0141 951 1025. And there is that three-way shootout for the top six. It might not be decided tomorrow because of the knock-on effect of the Dundee Rangers rearrangement, but it could be. Dundee could seal their top six place tomorrow, and it'll be an absolute cracker as Motherwell and Hibs try and disrupt that as well. So get all your calls into us right now if you can on 0141 951 1025. It does sort of strike you, Hugh, as just when you think you've sort of seen it all in Scottish football this week, felt different, even by our standards. And you've seen many more of these weeks than me.
Yeah, that's why I think that the SPL hierarchy,
FL, stick the F in for us,
SPFL hierarchy, will be privately hoping that Dundee don't make the top six. Because can you imagine the devastating after effects of Dundee getting into the top six when you rearrange their games? You send Celtic there, for example, first time out, and the pitch is unplayable. And here we go again. There's no end to the damage that they might cause. I think it might be best for all concerned if they don't make the top six. However, Tony Docherty and the players did not bring about this farcical situation, and they will go to Aberdeen hoping to get a result there. But Peter Leaven, about to be replaced by Jimmy Theron from Elfsborg, he has taken 7 of the last 9 points for Aberdeen. They are improving ever so slightly. So you would think with home advantage, they're looking good tomorrow.
Big weekend, Simon.
It certainly is. And I know what you're saying, Joe, but the chaos will still ensue, you know, should Dundee go in the bottom six with that pitch. That pitch, you're just touching on the
They still have to play other fixtures that could determine relegation places.
But with the greatest respect, there's a pecking order, a priority list, and you're talking about the title race.
Yeah, but hold on.
But there could be
it's
a
all relative
there as well, I know.
Teams going down is as teams just, trying to stay in the league is as important as the teams trying to win the championship.
It's a terrible situation.
But when Philippe Clement constantly refers to the image of Scottish football and how this plays out beyond this country, you imagine if we get into the post-split games, 5 to go, championship at stake, and they can't get that part playable?
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. I know whatever way you look at it, it's not good. I think, obviously, with the game being live on television as well, it's been cancelled twice now. And, yeah, the focus, inevitably, you know, from outside of the league probably is who's going to go and win it. Nevertheless, the importance of the teams at the bottom, it's not a good look. And I don't know how we solve it, because we're into April. The weather has been hellish. And, April 12th? And it's obviously a huge issue there. I don't know how they resolve it. They've had covers on it. The covers haven't worked. It's certainly something that Dundee are going to have to look into financially at the end of the season. You know, they're going to have to maybe sacrifice investment in some of the team to get their pitch right. But at the moment, with 5, 6, 7 games or whatever is left, how do you solve it?
Good question. Come on, 0141 951 1025. You want to just get back to talking about the football this weekend, you can do. If you want to keep going with the fallout from the postponements at Dens Park, we're here for you as well. Celtic fans, what about that as a jumping off point tonight for the game tomorrow? No dies in Maeda. How big a blow is that? How worried are you if he was to be absent for the rest of the season? Who should take his place now? And is there a future for Mikey Johnson at Celtic? We've not randomly plucked that question out of thin air. He's been named Championship Player of the Month, and Brendan Rodgers spoke about it today, suggesting that he's got a future. So I wonder what you make of that. If you could give us a call right now on 0141 951 1025. The sporting side of it, Hugh, it might take away slightly from this weekend. Look, Dundee can do it. They go and get what they need to do. They'll make the top six.
Yeah.
Stuart Kettlewell saying for him it's kind of straightforward. They just need to win the game anyway. They're the outsiders. It's a shame we're not going to get that three-way shootout decided tomorrow. Or that we might not, sorry, yeah, for the top six.
We have a set of circumstances which are deeply regrettable. However, I know that Stuart Kettlewell and Nick Montgomery at Hibs have voiced their concerns over the integrity of the league and the progress of the league, but there's nothing that anyone can do about it. We simply have to grit our teeth and bear it. And, you know, at least Motherwell and Hibs will be a terrific game for Park. And Dundee, Aberdeen, the Aberdeen players know there's a new manager coming in. They better start putting on performances that because I'm absolutely certain he'll be studying the Aberdeen game tomorrow from afar. So they're all undergoing an audition, and that will add to the excitement of the occasion at Pittodrie.
Yeah, I mean, you look to that Motherwell Hibs game, both managers, I think I heard Kettlewell saying that as well, both are getting the game, they have to win it anyway. They have to go and win it. Mm-hmm. You know, we could have been sitting here, Dundee could have got a result the other night and could have secured it. So that hasn't happened.
I think it's more for Hibs sort of in-game, isn't it? You like that excitement of, okay, well, they've done this and I'm going to throw on this attacker, whatever. It's not like just the be-all and end-all.
Just
but
go and try and win the game.
It's exciting. We like that when games kick off
we
at
like
the same time.
An as-things-stand kind of day. And obviously we don't have that. However, that will not, I am certain, detract from the entertainment value at Pittodrie and Fir Park.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Mark is a Celtic fan who's going to kick things off. How are you, Mark?
I'm not too bad, Gordon. How are you?
Not bad. Mikey Johnson, Daizen Maeda, take them in whichever order you want. How big a blow is this injury news for you tonight?
It's a blow of the lad as well, Gordon, coming back this season. I wouldn't say he's made a defender, me as I thought a left banger.
I think he's tracking back is the best asset.
His best quality. After that, he's not got much.
Well, yeah, I think Brendan Rodgers would contradict you. He was the one that said that Daizen Maeda tended to be the instigator. Now, he certainly instigated things at Ibrox last weekend. And
he does that, Hugh. You're 100% right. I can't disagree with you, but once he's gone forward with the ball at his feet, he gets into the 18-yard box, maybe even 12, 13 yards out, spin in, and everyone's like put across to the. He's finishing in quality.
Well, if he had a final ball, he wouldn't be at Celtic. He'd be in the English Premier League. But simple question for you, Mark. Would you rather be with him or without him?
Do you know something? It doesn't really bother me because somebody else will just have to step in tomorrow again. I know he does. He's backtracking and everything else he does is absolutely fantastic. But I'm sorry. After that, I think
that's fair. Mark's got his opinion. And I think we know that Daizen might. Is the timing of this question important, right? Had Celtic not played Rangers in 10 weeks, and you watched Daizen Maeda for those 10 weeks put crosses into the stand against St Mirren and Livy and St Johnson, but he does seem to save his best performances or his most impactful performances for Rangers. We're talking about how important he was. We're off the back of that. I don't think Mark's alone from Celtic fans who don't think Daizen Maeda is like the be all and end all, but when you look back to last week, you see how important he is.
Yeah, and I think he's proved that in his time at the club. I know what I think Mark's trying to say. As Hugh says, if his composure was on point 9 times out of 10, he probably wouldn't be at Celtic. He'd probably be down the road or somewhere else. But there's no taking away what he brings to the team. He was out the team earlier in the season, and take away the Rangers game, he brings an energy. I watch him most weeks and he'll take off there, he'll instigate the pass, you know, whether it's from a Greg Taylor behind him or a midfielder. And I've said it time and time again, I would hate to play against the guy because, yes, he's not as polished as, you know, players will see in the Premiership or in the Champions League, but he never stops from the first minute. And I'll take on board Mark's comments about defensively, he brings that to the team as well. I think if you asked anybody in that team as far as what he can bring, he's a team player. And the energy and stuff. And as I said earlier, he's not a be-all and end-all because there's other players there that will need to step up now. If he's out for the next 5-6 games, there's players. Palmer's coming back. His numbers were decent in the start of the season before he got injured. Somebody's going to have to fill that void. But there's no taking away from the energy that Daizen Maeda brings to that Celtic team.
Do you not think he's important in these Rangers games, Mark? Because presumably the sides will meet again within the next 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Oh, he's as important about it. As I say, I see him really defending Gordon and he is going forward. Really, because they're looking for a lot more off him inside that box. Like, even running with the ball at his feet and that, there's no control. Don't know whether you need to take a bat out of him or that, or slow the lad down, but definitely better defending than shutting down, and he's 100% for that. Can't disagree, but I'm sorry, I'm looking for the beginning. He did it against Rangers on Sunday, the two. A couple of times inside the box.
Yeah, the great chance, Mark. The great chance. And sure, you look at it back, you think, yeah, I mean, it's easy saying after it, but you should have done better with the finish. But it's time and time. He's questioning defenders. You've got Tavernier here, who's arguably one of Rangers' best outfield players. Attacking wise, he's posing questions, forcing him the other way.
And that has to be important, Hugh. If the post split fixtures come out and Celtic host Rangers in whatever that would be, three weeks' time, say. If Dyson Maeda's not on the team sheet, James Tavernier will be a happier man. And that's important going into a title race, surely.
If Celtic announce next week that the hamstring injury is such that his season is over, then I think that is to the detriment of Celtic's hopes of winning the league title and the Scottish Cup.
Let's hear Brendan Rodgers. This is the official line, so you don't think you have to take Hugh Keevan's word for it. He says they will find out next week the extent of that injury.
Dyson will miss the weekend, so we just need to see. Yeah, he picked up an injury high up on his hamstring, on his tendon. So we'll have to see where that and what that looks like over the coming weeks. But he's certainly not available for the weekend. Yeah, something that the medical team will look at. But we'll see where that goes in the next week or so, and then we'll see whether or understand better whether. What inclusion he'll have now between now and the end of the season.
Well, just have to wait and see. Linked into that, Mark, is Mikey Johnson, because he happens to be a winger. He is still Celtic's player. He's on loan at West Brom and he's the Championship Player of the Month. Do you think he's got a future at the club?
No, he hasn't, Gordon, no. I think Mikey's been there, what is it? Come out in 5 years?
A bit more than that, probably, yeah.
Maybe so. Well, his time's up at Celtic, the lad. But, it suits him, I think it suits him, Gordon. He plays in the English Championship. It's no hustle and bustle it is up here in Scotland, I think that's what the problem is. And he got plenty of time to play in the building there, so it suits the boy to play down there, I think.
Well, the fact of the matter is the Championship's a higher standard than our league.
But is it as easy as that, though? Because I'll extend this show till midnight and give you a list as long as you want of players who were good in the English Championship and weren't good here. It's just not that simple. It's also an entirely different set of expectations, an entirely different pressure. So just because you're good in the Championship, that doesn't mean you could come and play for Celtic or Rangers.
I think he's got one last chance, because Brendan Rodgers clearly wants to give him that chance, but it's the last chance. You can't keep bouncing back and then flopping again. But I think he will get that one last chance at the beginning of next season.
Let's hear that bit on Mikey Johnson. Mark in Hamilton's not convinced, says his time's up, he's had his chance. What does Brendan Rodgers think about Mikey Johnson coming back and making an impact next season?
I'm absolutely delighted for him, because he's a young player that I always said I rate it highly. I think it's been a challenge for him the last couple of years in terms of injuries and having to go out on loan to play. I think the first 6 months of his time here, I said to him, just prove that you're fit, prove that you have the fitness level to sustain, to train every day and to be available for games. And in fairness to him, he did that, and by the end he was contributing for us. But he really needed games. He's 24 years of age. He needed to get out and play. So what he's shown and what he's demonstrating is no surprise. I said it before, he's one of the best talents to come out of this academy. He's quick, he's direct, and he can score goals. So for him to go there and get that award with some outstanding players in the Championship, it shows you how well he's done. So hopefully he can continue with that and then come back to here Celtic in the summer and feel really energised again, full of confidence, and be ready to make an impact.
Mark on the line was not convinced, though, but what do you think? 0141 951 1025 and we'll get you on next.
My name's Mackenzie and I started a GoFundMe for the adoptive mother of a nonverbal autistic child the mother had lost her job because she wasn't able to find adequate care for this autistic child. So she really needed some help with living expenses, paying some back bills. So I launched a GoFundMe to help support them during this crisis. And we raised about $10,000 within just a couple of months. I think that the surprising thing was by telling a clear story and just like really being very clear about what we needed, we had some really generous donations from people who were really moved by the situation that this family was struggling with.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This podcast is supported by GoFundMe.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here on the usual number on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Get all your thoughts in either on the week's biggest talking points so far or a preview ahead of the weekend. We were going to speak to Scott and Cambus Lang, but I don't think we can get you back on the phone, Scott, so give us a call and we'll try and sort that out. Brendan is next up though. Brendan, just before the travel, we were discussing Mikey Johnson, partly because he's player of the month in the championship and partly because Daizen Maeda's injured as well. So do you think he's got a future?
Well, I've got a couple of points. So I'll address the Mikey Johnson one first. There's nothing I would love more than Mikey Johnson to be a success. Nothing I would love more. But I just think for the guy's career, I think he needs to go elsewhere. He's been out on loan a couple of times. He's done well in Portugal. He's done well with Republic Islands. But for some reason, when he steps over that line at Celtic Park, just something seems to overcome him, and it just doesn't seem to work for him.
Can that be a factor, Simon? You know, we hear about heavy jerseys and that sort of stuff.
Absolutely.
He's flying. You know, 7 goals since going to West Brom. He got four goals in 3 games in March in a little spell. That's what's won him the award. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's actually seen the quality of some of those goals. A lot of them, you know, cutting in onto that right foot and firing from outside the box. Can it just be that? Can it be, you know, the psychology of it, the pressure, the weight of the jersey, like I say? Is it that the style of play suits better? Or what can the reasons be?
It's an interesting one, Gordon. When I think about it, I think Brendan himself said the weight of the jersey sometimes at different clubs. It's weird. Obviously, I came through and you know the pressures of a youngster coming in and trying to make your way in the team. Mikey's had to do it twice. You know, he's went away and he's had a bit of a freedom playing elsewhere, Republic Island, Portugal, came back. There has been times when he's contributed up at Dens, springs to mind. But I remember him having a really difficult first half out at Celtic Park. I can't remember who it was against. And I felt for him because you could see it was affecting him. You could see it was affecting his confidence. It was one of the games at the turn of the year, possibly. And yet he goes down to West Brom and he's hit, you know, top form. It's a weird one. I just think coming back again, would it double the pressure? You know, all eyes on him again. Can he do it this time round? He's 24. And as Brendan says there, it's maybe just a freshness to go away somewhere else. It's a different type of... Obviously, there's pressure in football. It's a different type of pressure down there. West Brom are still doing really well in the Championship. He's got Player of the Month. It maybe is the best for him.
It would be. I think it's a year left on the contract, Hugh. So, well, we've heard from Brendan Rodgers. He's the manager saying he does expect him to come back and have an impact. If not, then Celtic would really need to try and sell him then this summer, move him on.
Win or lose the title, Celtic face a major overhaul in the summer. There's too much dead wood there that will have to be got rid of after 2 bad transfer windows. And in the midst of that overhaul, I think Mikey Johnson will come back in and will be reassessed. But for the last time, if he can't keep himself fit, if the jersey is too heavy, last chance, out in the winter transfer window. Or, more optimistically, comes in and takes the last chance. But, as I say, win or lose the title, there'll be a major overhaul at Celtic in the summer.
That's the interesting bit for me, because how many times have we said it this season, the make or break, and you wonder, does that feed back to the player himself? Because I wouldn't like to be playing under that pressure, make or break, you know, this is it, and then it's tough enough trying to make your way at a club like Celtic with a lot of players in that position. I just wonder if, you know, he's better off for his own personal career to be, you know, doing well somewhere else.
Bit of a divide, Brendan. Simon and Hugh thought that the injury news to Daizen Maeda was a blow to Celtic. The previous fan on the line, Mark, did not think that to be the case. What's your take on it?
I think he'd every player available. Now, I heard what the previous caller was saying about how, you know, he's got the pace, but he didn't see the ball control. If he'd the pace and the ball control, he wouldn't be at Celtic. We used to say that about Tom Rogic. If Tom Rogic had pace, he'd have been in English Premiership. You know, so we have to sort of settle for players' deficiencies, if you want to call that. I would much rather have the option to play Maeda. I think then you're looking at putting pressure on opposing team fullbacks, keeping them pressed back as well, getting that. He does an unbelievable amount of work, so I hope his injury is not anywhere near as what we think it might be.
Yeah, I know you had other points to make, Brendan. You crack on, don't let me stop you.
The next point is about the pitch, right? Just a quick point on that. Now, Dundee have been kicked about like a bus football, as they call it, you know. And question that I don't seem to have seen been asked, or certainly hasn't been addressed in any sort of great depth, is that game should have been played the midweek before the Celtic Rangers game, you know, because the pitch was playable. There was a Grade 1 referee inspected the pitch on the Thursday morning after when the game should have taken place. And obviously in preparation for the Motherwell game, he said the pitch was playable. It hadn't rained the night before, so the pitch would have been playable the night before.
Are you sure about that? Was it? And I'm not genuinely asking, why would they have? Why would was it a pitch inspection on the Thursday morning?
He called in a Grade 1 official that stays in the Dundee area, and he inspected the pitch.
That's passed me by. That may well be the case. Listen, there's a couple of reasons. We said it last night. I feel like Brendan and others, it's been presented as fact that this pitch was playable last midweek, and genuinely, that wasn't my understanding of it. No, I remember that both clubs, obviously, Rangers and Dundee, Rangers and Dundee agreed to play it this week. It's not like one can choose or the other. And remember the race against time that Dundee faced to get the game on at Motherwell. Yeah. I remember that Wednesday. Us being on the show and going, good job the game wasn't scheduled because it was bucketing down. Anyway, like I say, this has become almost like presented as fact that was playable. And I think what's a really interesting point, Brendan kicks it off, Dundee have been kicked around and they have.
Yeah.
So see if Dundee feel that they were somehow forced to play it this week instead of last week. Let's hear you, because a large portion of Scottish football would like to hear that. Yeah. But it certainly doesn't look like that was the case.
To borrow Brendan's expression about Dundee being kicked about like a bus ball, deservedly so. It's simply unacceptable. There is no other way of looking at it. 30% of their home matches this season have been postponed. That they have used money on players to the detriment of the pitch. They have let down everyone associated with Scottish football. Every word of condemnation coming their way is deserved. Brendan.
Yeah, I think that's unfair. As I say, the weather that's been, and okay, maybe they've not spent the money they should have on their pitch, but, you know, I still don't understand why the game wasn't scheduled in to be played last Wednesday.
Brendan, is your whole premise here that Rangers should have been taxed before the Celtic game? Is that what's really getting under your skin?
No, that's the way you want to turn it, right? That's the way you're wanting to turn this into. All I'm saying is there was a free midweek that wasn't utilised. Why, you're coming to the business end of the season, when you're in this situation with the history of the pitch, which you keep going on about, and remember one of those games was actually postponed because the Ross County team were told not to travel. It was nothing to do with the pitch. That game, the Ross County game, wasn't played. It was the weather conditions for the Ross County team travelling down was too dangerous. So, you know, it's five games. I know 5-4 is not a big sort of drop, but, you know, if that's what suits people's argument to use that way, to beat Dundee with a stick again, that's fine. But it's nothing to do with that. All I'm saying is there was a free opportunity, a free game night to play that game.
But what was the pitch playable last midweek?
Gordon, you go back and look. Right, there was a statement released last week for Dundee on the Thursday morning that the pitch was inspected in preparation for the upcoming Motherwell game, and the referee, the Grade 1 official, I don't know his name, I don't even think he was named, but the Grade 1 official who stayed in the Dundee area...
That's still... See, I know you might accuse me of splitting hairs, but that's still different to a game being playable the night before, isn't it? That this notion that you get somebody in the next day and then it's in preparation for a game in 2 days' time, that doesn't prove that the pitch was playable Wednesday night. And the really boring bit is that Dundee and Rangers both scheduled it for this midweek. But I mean, that's it. I know it's really dull, but that's the fact, isn't it? There's a lot of speculation around that, but it was scheduled for both teams for this week, so it becomes a sort of moot point, really, doesn't it? When you find out that the pitch wasn't playable.
They asked the question why it wasn't scheduled for the midweek before.
But that's what I mean. That question is as relevant to Dundee as to MD. The two teams just agreed. From what I maybe I'm just speaking.
SPFL. SPFL are at fault then for allowing the teams to use up.
But what do you mean allowing teams? Teams agree on when they schedule fixtures. Like if the SPFL forced them into doing something they didn't want to do, then that would be equally as wrong, would it not?
Well, I think there should be a bit more pressure applied and said, listen, there's a midweek available, why don't we use it?
But Brendan, the problem is you're still presenting this as fact that pitch was playable on Wednesday night. So like once you take that away, the rest of that becomes a bit more difficult.
But Gordon, what you're missing the point is that if the game was scheduled for that wasn't the way, it wouldn't have been scheduled on the Wednesday, we played on the Wednesday. It would have been scheduled on the 18th or 19th of March, which is almost a month ago. You know, so that's where the decision was wrongly made. You know, when the original scheduling for the game to be played, that's when the mistake was made. When they then looked at it and thought, right, there's a midweek. Well, let's not use that one. Let's use the next one.
Brendan is the exception to the rule. The only man so far to be standing up for Dundee, and forgive me, Brendan, but at the back of all this is this Rangers Celtic game, for sure.
Anyway, we'll agree to disagree. My understanding is that pitch was not playable last midweek. But the beauty of this is, I'm not one of these guys that says what I say is right. If Dundee want to phone and say you have got the wrong end of the stick on that, that would make for good radio. I am more than happy to be corrected. Or if this mystery Grade 1 official who called it on wants to give us a shout, please do. 0141 951 1025.
They could email you.
That's too easy now. I'm banning those jokes. I think it's just too easy. I've seen too many pundits make those this week. Just, it's too much of a tapping. You're better than that. Let's bring in Scott.
Are you sure?
I have my doubts. Scott is in Cambus Lang. What's on your mind tonight, Scott?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for having me back on again. How are you? Hope you're all right.
All good. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. Thank you very much. It's 2 points. Dies in my header. Mm-hmm. He's out for the rest of the season. That's a massive blow for Celtic Football Club. Because for several reasons, his pace. All right, he's like, if you can remember Didier Agat, you know, I'm in the generation now, you know, I went to see Celtic when Didier Agat was playing, and he couldn't cross the road. But he could run for 90 plus minutes, right? Whatever he could do, he could run, right? And Dias Maeda fits in that category, right? He can give you 110% whoever he's playing. And I don't agree with you very much, very often, right? And this is the second time I've said this, right? But if he's out for the rest of the season, Rangers coming to Parkhead will go, right, okay, fair enough. That's one big worry we don't need to worry about. You know, and I think that is going to be a massive loss. Massive loss.
Well, as I said, Scott, if he's out for the rest of the season, that is to the detriment of Celtic's hopes of winning the league and cup. Quite simple. It's quite straightforward. There's no facsimile of Dyson Maeda. And James Tavernier would be delighted. Every other team in the top six would be delighted. And Brendan Rodgers would be disappointed. End of story.
How much of this, Scott, is being made worse because it's fresh in the memory of what he's capable of, particularly against Rangers?
Well, it's not just because of that game there on Sunday. And let me pull you up. 3-0 to Rangers here? Come on. Well, you got that one wrong right away. But anyway.
But no. I didn't know that Rangers would score 3 goals.
But you didn't realise Celtic were going to score 3 goals either, did you?
The drops in the other eye didn't work.
We're splitting hairs here for you. We're splitting hairs here. it's not just because of the game on Sunday. You look at previous games where he's actually caused mayhem, right? So it's not just about the game on Sunday there. That, as you say, Gordon, that's just because it's fresh in the memory, right? If you look at the other games past over the past year and a half, 2 years, he's been constant. It's not just a one-off for him, you know, but don't get me wrong, I'm not going to turn around and be massively sweating over it. There's other players there that can fit in, but I just think for his energy, he's nuisance, being a nuisance. He's just been there for 90-plus minutes. The rest of the guys can't do that. You know, the rest of the wingers can't do that, and I think that's why he's so important.
Yeah, I take Scott's point. It just feels like there's something about the fixture, Simon, because like inevitably, because it's two closer teams in terms of ability, Rangers are going to take chances at the back. They're going to hold on to it at the back. Dyson Maeda can then press them. There might be spaces left. You know, on your, it's not to disagree with Scott. He says he's constant. I just feel like on a Saturday evening, when Celtic have played Livy or they've played St Mirren or they've played St Johnson, I don't think we get loads of calls to say Dyson Maeda was brilliant today. But we do. It seems when they play Rangers, it just seems like a fixture that really, really suits them.
Yeah, but I agree with Scott as well. He does bring things to the party out with that Rangers game. Yeah, he seems to turn it on against Rangers. But I just look to the energy of the three Japanese boys in particular. There's Hitate coming back and he's getting stronger, and people are saying to me, confident about the run-in for Celtic. And my answer was, well, I think the team's going to get stronger. If there's no injuries, you've got these guys coming back, the captain coming back. But you look at Kyogo, Hitate, Maeda, over the last two seasons, they've been big players in that Rangers game. They've contributed a lot. And yes, I think if Rangers look at a team sheet and those three players, they're concerned about those three players. So it's a good comparison, actually, to Agat, because I didn't play with Agat, but I heard he was terrible in training as well. But he seemed to turn it on. He had a ton of pace there, and defenders hate pace. And Maeda,
the other thing about Maeda, tell me who's better, you know, because it's not Kuhn.
There's nobody like him.
It's not Yang. It's not Palmer. And therefore, starting tomorrow, Dyson Mayhem is a miss.
I like it. Very quickly, Scott, because we're pushed for time, does Mikey Johnson have a future at Celtic?
No, sir. He's got a year left his contract. The guy's doing well, good on him. I'm not going to diss him. Do you know what I mean? I just think he's done it twice. He's came back. It's no work for him, you know, and he's got a year left his contract. Sell him, get as much as we can, and just cut the boy free, you know, and that's just let, you know, there's been better, I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but there's been better players that have left Celtic, you know, but I just think we can get as much as we can.
Fair enough. Thank you very much to Scott and Cambus Lang. Let me tell you about this.
Clyde One. £1 million make me a winner. Win your share of £1 million. Make me a winner.
I'll tell you what, Emily is going to have a good weekend because she was the big winner on Friday, doing everything right and winning £100,000. What a weekend that is going to be. Make me a winner. It's your chance to win life-changing cash every weekday, and all you need to do is get in that draw. Now, we're talking £70,000 on Monday, so pretty much £1,000 for every year that Hugh Keevans has been alive, right? That's a lot of money. So if you fancy that, and why wouldn't you, please text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call after 3 p.m. on Monday, answer within 5 rings, say make me a winner straight away to win £70,000. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Friday night fun in the company of Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly. You can get in touch on the phones, on Twitter. We're building up to what is hopefully a really memorable weekend. We're well into the business end of the season now, I think you would agree. So lots to play for up and down the divisions this weekend. Let's bring in Jim, who's on the line. How are you, Jim?
I'm very well, thank you.
What are you thinking tonight then?
I just think this whole Dundee debacle was totally avoidable. After Dundee's third call-off, the SPFL should have went to them and said, find someone to ground share with and get your pitch sorted. And don't play on it until it is sorted properly. And this would have been solved a long time ago.
Yeah, I think Brendan, the previous caller, made a good point, though. Like, you know, one of the postponements was a travelling issue. You know, it's not all been the pitch. And I wonder if once you get to this stage, you know, saying, okay, right, sort it now.
Yeah.
If you have got, like, historical issues with drainage and so on, and the rain keeps coming down, I wonder if they're kind of doing all they can at the moment. That's not to say they can't have done more.
How's Paradise playable?
Because that's what I'm saying, though, right? Whether that's because money was invested previously, maybe the drainage is better, but this notion that they can do more to fix it right now, I wonder if it's sort of too late, Hugh.
Yeah, mid-season you can't fix it.
I mean, you can do certain things, but yeah, I'd imagine there's a limit on it.
And point number one, you can't fix it mid-season. And point number two, if it keeps on raining, then you're also at the mercy of Mother Nature to an extent. And also, you can't just say, right, go and ground share. You know, it's not something that's done overnight. I mean, for example, the Dundee fans won't settle for ground sharing with Dundee United, so right away you're having to move out of town. You go down the road, 22 miles to Perth, they've got a bad pitch at St Johnston. It simply wouldn't stand two teams on it. So I'm very much afraid that it's not feasible mid-season to take care of a problem that is so bad it's going to take £1 million and a complete overhaul of the playing surface to sort out, if they can come by that kind of money. Because in the midst of all this, they've posted financial losses of seven figures. They are in a dreadful state financially. And who knows where that goes from here on in. So it couldn't have been done mid-season. It's just that there's not an overnight fix and then come back in 3 weeks' time and it'll be fine.
The dramatic outcome here is that it isn't playable next midweek. If Philippe Clement is right and the SPFL have alluded to it,
they go somewhere else.
They're going to make an early call, though. Philippe Clement said Tuesday lunchtime. The SPFL didn't specify, but they said well in advance. I wonder if, you know, the most boring outcome is the one we're going to get. I mean, boring in a good way for Dundee. But Dens is fine, and Dens is playable next midweek. I feel like everyone's already maybe scarred by the last few weeks, but I feel like everybody's already expecting it not to be, in a way.
I know. I mean, who knows? As I say, the weather's been terrible, but I hope, for the case of the league, I hope that Dens is playable next week, because if it's not, and we go to an Easter Road or a McDermott, as Hugh says, the pitch there isn't too clever, are going to be the focus and attention of everywhere.
Yeah, it's not about being clever, though, is it? It's just about being playable. Like, that's it, like, bare minimum.
Yeah.
Jim, what would be your feelings on that? Do you think next week will actually be fine at Dens? Do you think it'll end up getting moved again?
You can check it one day. Well, there, it was playable at 12 o'clock or 11 o'clock when they inspected it, and by 3 o'clock it wasn't playable. What's to say that next week?
I know.
Well, that's why they're just going to have to call it, though. You know, earlier this time.
Yeah, but if they call it on Tuesday that it's playable, and it rains all day Wednesday.
Yeah, I suppose what I mean is, Hugh, it's going to have to be if there's any doubt whatsoever. Yeah. That's what I mean by that. Surely something will have to be shifted this time.
I think if you look at the pitch on Tuesday and think, I don't think so.
Yeah, then it's a no, basically.
Yes. You are duty bound then to put the Plan B into operation, whatever that may be, because we cannot have.
What is Jim saying? Is Jim saying just Plan B right now? Is that your suggestion, Jim?
Go for it. Yeah. And the game will
then
go.
You know what's ahead.
You know exactly where you're standing.
But I suppose that's where real headaches arise, though, isn't it? In terms of,
I know, as he says, it could go Tuesday.
I get that. But I mean,
is it not? I mean,
because the big issues here are, where, first and foremost, and I've seen a few venues suggested. My understanding is that they would certainly look for somewhere that's got the VAR infrastructure currently, so that would be a Premiership ground.
And I'm assuming closed doors, or has that still not been decided?
It's certainly not been announced publicly. No. I think behind the scenes, that's still, again, TBC, and that's then the issue.
It's a difficult one as well.
Because that then, before you even get to who it benefits or who it doesn't, that's then a really big deal. If you have to play a game behind closed doors.
It's terrible. Yeah. I know.
For the integrity of the competition, you hope that Dens is playable on Wednesday. However, on Tuesday, if there is a shred of doubt, then you have to say, no, we can't undergo the farce of the cameras being there to record the game being called off yet again, thereby throwing the whole league into chaos.
I guess the loose cut-off point that Philippe Clement's looking for is basically before Rangers travel, I think, ultimately, because twice they've gone up on the day before.
He's perfectly entitled to that. They have been mucked about training schedules, etc., etc., etc. Supporters mucked about, lost money twice now. So on Tuesday, if there is a shred of doubt, it's off and Plan B kicks in. And the integrity of the competition then, you have to take it that Dundee have forfeited the right to a home game. Therefore, it doesn't matter which venue is chosen, it's not their home game anymore. For Rangers, Clement is at the stage now where he made the joke about Mars, but he's at the stage where he just wants the thing played. And Plan B will need to be put into place on Tuesday if there is a shred of doubt.
I'll tell you, it was a good start to the show. We had got away from the pitch for a bit, but we've been dragged back in. But it's been a huge story this week, so we don't make any real apologies. Thank you to Jim on the line. It is that time on your Friday night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on then, Beat the Pundit time. You've got Hugh Keevan sitting there with his 73% win rate. I say it, 1% for every year that he's been around. Simon Donnelly, you've slipped a bit, I think, in recent weeks. Yeah. 69% win record for you. You're not that age yet, are you?
Not quite.
Anyway, 01419511025. The line's close at 7, and it is your chance to take on Hugh Keevans or Simon Donnelly at Beat the Pundit next.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here, and you can get in touch. We'd love you to on 01419511025. We kicked off on the injury news surrounding Daizen Maeda, out tomorrow and potentially up against it for the rest of the season. We were assessing whether that was as big a blow as Hugh and Simon thought or not, according to one caller in particular. We've also had Brendan Rodgers speaking about Mikey Johnson. He's the player of the month in the Championship in England. Does he have a future at Celtic? I knew we would only hold out so long, much like the Dens Park pitch trying to hold out against the rain. We then went back over some of the twists and turns in that story this week. So whatever it is that's on your mind, you can keep them coming right now, and we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are standing by, and one of them will take on Gavin, who's on the line. How are you, Gavin?
Not bad, pal, yourself?
First time?
First time, mate, aye.
Where are you calling from tonight, Gavin?
Banff.
That's Banff.
Even I know that's not round the corner. Where exactly is Banff, for those who don't know, Gavin?
It's about 43 mile northeast Aberdeen, between between Peterhead and Bucky.
So still not quite as far as where you were.
Not
this
as far
week.
But I think I played there for Partick Thistle.
Devonville,
that's right.
Aye.
Yeah, that's right.
Was that when you knew your career was sort of
No, I think
winding
we won
down.
I think it was in the Scottish Cup.
Right, anyway.
Is there a time difference, Gavin? Or
stop it, come on. That's because he never leaves the greater Clydebank area, Gavin. But anyway, right, what I'll do here is toss the coin. If it's heads, it is Hugh Keevans. And if it's tails, it is Simon Donnelly. You know, like Scottish football, the home of the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Last night,
I heard.
Apparently,
I
deliberately do the coin for Gordon DL. Now I have to start holding it up to the camera. And then I'm still getting it tight.
Also,
because
see tonight, if you we deem you to be reading the question slowly, do we get a second bite of the cherry?
It's incredible. And then I'm still getting stick because I think there was a slip of the tongue when Jim Duffy was in on Tuesday. I think when I said, you know, Gordon will be heads and Jim will be tails, I got it round the wrong way. Yeah. But this is why you need to watch the live stream, right, on YouTube, because There is a heads seat, which is immediately to my left, and then there is a tails seat, which is further away. So although I had a slip of the tongue on Tuesday, rest assured, the right pundit still played. Tonight, heads it's Hugh, tails it's Simon, for the avoidance of doubt. Zoom in on that if you like. It is a heads.
Oh, right. He was also questioning the height of height of your toss.
He's a disturbed individual, as Gordon DL. So it's Hugh Keevans up against Gavin from Banff. So we'll give Hugh some greatest hits radio to listen to, just so that he can't hear us. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock, and it's pretty straightforward, Gavin. If you want to pass and move through them, fine by me, okay?
No worries, pal.
Right, your time starts now. Name either scorer when Celtic beat St Mirren in the Cup in February.
Kyogo.
Who was the last Rangers manager to win the Scottish Cup?
Oh, pass.
Which top six side has scored the fewest goals?
Dundee.
Name any team who won in the Europa League last night.
Atlanta.
Who's Rangers' top assister in the league this season?
Tav.
Okay. Let's bring Hugh Keevans back. What were you enjoying there?
A bit of Michael Jackson, yeah.
All right, okay. It was last night that you sent Lady Keevans away to some sort of musical entertainment. You were in here with the restricted view tickets the other night.
She was beside herself with happiness. The Drifters girl, it's called. It was on the King's Theatre when we were young.
Honestly,
she used to go about the house saying Saturday night at the movies.
Some social life you two have got. You weren't there though, were you?
I was watching Liverpool play.
He's no daft, is he? Gets the tickets.
I sent it with a pal.
Off you go. I'll get my feet up.
Yeah.
Glass of wine, football.
Right, Hugh. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name either scorer when Celtic beat St Mirren in the Cup in February.
Kyogo.
Who was the last Rangers manager to win the Scottish Cup?
Walter Smith.
Which side in the top six has scored the fewest goals?
St Mirren.
Name any team who won in the Europa League last night.
Atalanta.
Who is Rangers' top assister in the league this season?
Pass.
Hammy the Hamster is the mascot for which Scottish club?
Dundee.
I can't believe the lack of educated
mascot
guesses
knowledge.
That take. It's not even the knowledge, it's just like the educated guess that should take place. Gavin, how do you think that went?
I've had an absolute stinker, but I think I've done them.
I don't know. I don't know about that either, right enough, but I think somewhere in the middle. Name either scorer the last time Celtic played St Mirren, beat them in the Cup in February, Kyogo or Maeda. Kyogo was generally a good place to start. Both got it. One all. Gavin. Is it time to admit that you're a Rangers fan here?
Mate, honestly.
I've got your back, Gavin. I always say this for some reason. See questions from like 2 or 3 years ago, they're the ones that like freak me out the most. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Gio. I knew it was a pass.
It's that you panic, don't you? And then you can't move past it. So it is still one all. However, the team with the fewest goals in the top six is St Mirren. Hugh Keevans takes a one goal lead, if you like. Atalanta did win in the Europa League last night. You both got it. Hugh Keevan stays one in front. Rangers' top assister in the league is James Tavernier. I thought it'd been an obvious one to guess. Hugh, all the corners and free kicks and crosses. Gavin got it.
Right.
Which means it all comes down to Hammy the Hamster. Hammy, Hamster, Hamilton. You can always kind of put it together. He didn't get that far. You got it wrong. A tiebreaker for the second night in succession. No way. This is a ridiculous question. I promise you, I haven't seen this. I'm not sure. It's very self-indulgent. The tiebreaker's about me.
Oh.
Nah. Cool. I'll tell you what, I'll save that. This is a backup, right?
No, give us that one.
Come on.
You can't say that then.
There's no knowledge attached to this whatsoever. It says, how many days has Gordon Duncan been the host of Clyde One Super Scoreboard? I mean, write it down, Hugh Keevans, if you want to give it a bash. But, right, okay. Oh, hold, he's doing sums and everything, equations here. Hurry up, Hugh. No, hurry up, write it down quicker than that. Not having it. Gavin, give us your attempt.
Days, okay.
Gavin, what are you going for?
Oh. 739.
I honestly don't think we can have this. I'm going to do a second tiebreaker. Hugh Keevans has obviously got a bit of inside knowledge. He knows roughly in years, and he's by far the closest. Apparently, and I did not know this.
Gavin's got you here less than 2 years.
I know, it's 2,447. Oh. Hugh would have won it. I'm not having it, Gavin. We're going to use the second tiebreaker. It's equally as ridiculous, but I'm not comfortable with it being about me because, quite frankly, who cares? Right, here's the real tiebreaker. Between 1 and 99, what is Andy Halliday's rating on FIFA 2024?
What?
So players get rated, Hugh, between 1 and 99. If you're Messi or whatever, you'll be near 99. If you're a dud, you'll be a 1. Gavin, what do you think Andy Halliday's rating is?
That's terrible, you.
59.
I hope Andy Halliday's not listening. Hugh Keevans, granted, I don't have Hugh down as much of a FIFA player. Hugh's got 22. I don't know much about the game, but I don't think Andy's a 22, are they?
I hope not.
It's 66, which means Gavin is the winner of the sign ball. Well done to you, Gavin.
Cheers, Bob.
Your Andy Halliday knowledge got you through. Who would have thought it?
All the best to Stacey.
Oh, these jokes are terrible tonight. Ah, come on. Gavin is.
Hey, never mind my jokes. Those are the two worst questions.
The tiebreakers
ever.
Were grim.
Who put the questions together?
I know. I don't do that. Now Alonso's on Twitter saying, didn't the contestant pass the question about the top assister? No, you said Tav, didn't you, Gavin? You didn't say pass.
No, Tav.
He did say, he did. Were you listening, Simon?
I wasn't listening.
Oh,
no.
I'm having a nightmare.
I was listening to Michael Jackson.
No, he did. He said Tav, which maybe sounds like pass. So there we go. Yeah, the worst tiebreakers of all time. I did quite like the Andy Halliday one, especially because you think he's number 22.
Well, I was going to put 19. I'd upped it a bit.
FIFA 24 ratings. Let's have a wee look, just for some sort of comparison.
What was he, 66?
Yeah, something along those lines.
I don't even know what you're talking about. FIFA what?
You've got an idea of one's rubbish and 99's good, and you give him a 22.
But what, these are ratings.
Like to say like how good the player is.
Console game.
So it's out of 100.
So it's not actually an official thing. It's
No.
It's a board game.
It's not a board game. It's not a board game.
It's a computer game. It's based on like their attributes, you know, like their passing or shooting and whatever, and all added up to come up with a number out of.
But it's still a game.
100. Yeah, but it is said to be. Well,
give us a comparison. It's said to Elsa 66.
It's said to be at least quite accurate, or you know, a bit of research does go into it.
I might as well say to you, what was the Beatles' name before they chose the Beatles?
So as an example, I don't have any Premiership. The lowest rated players are 47. You've got Andy's 22.
Well, as I say, if you're going to do it age appropriate, what was the Beatles' name before they were called the Beatles?
I should know that, but not because of my age, but go on.
The Quarrymen.
So I can see some random, like a completely random list that I've somehow found on here. So it looks like like Scott Wright's a 70, you know, like players like that in there. Graham Shinney 69, Greg Stewart 69.
I'm with the Dazzler now. I am firmly. I can't wait to meet the Dazzler tomorrow so that we can stand united that these questions have taken this proud radio station to a new low.
Yeah, but do you know what the clue is then? Don't be so bad that it goes to a tiebreaker. Yeah. That would be my advice to you.
90 minutes.
Hammy the hamster, I mean, really.
Spittle is the highest rated Motherwell player with a 67. Oh, hold on.
So he's second best.
We're trying to say Andy Halliday's only one behind player Spittle. I don't know, actually. I don't know how on board I am with that now. No offence, Andy, if he's listening. Right, back to something approaching normality. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit from some of the other managers involved. I'm not sure we're going to be able to shake this pitch discussion off right now, so if you want to keep them coming, you can do. Or if you want to put a different spin on it, I'd like to hear maybe from you, Motherwell and Hibs fans, the sort of sporting argument for this weekend. Do you buy that? Do you read too much into that? Because Nick Montgomery was speaking, and he has been questioning the integrity of the league, because Dundee now don't play Rangers until next week after everyone else has fulfilled their fixtures.
Obviously, it's a little bit disappointing
there's another game being called off, and if anything, it probably just affects the last round and the integrity of the competition. I think everyone knew there's a real good chance that game was going to be off. I think the forecast of rain later in the afternoon meant that it was going to be off. It's such a shame that there wasn't an alternative venue arranged for them to play the game. And if not, obviously there has to be consequences if the games are getting regularly called off. But the consequences now that Dundee haven't had a midweek game and they go into the weekend's game and they've still got another game after the splits. I don't know if that's ever happened before. Yeah, obviously for us and for Rangers as well, then preparation going into that game, I can totally understand Philip's comments as well. But again, nothing that we can control right now and doesn't really affect our mindset going into the game, because it's a game that we need to win.
Has to concentrate on his team. Never mind Dundee, never mind Pitchgate. He has to focus on getting the result at Motherwell, because he's had 28 games as Hibs manager, Nick McGovern, and he's won eight. So if they don't make the top six, he's in trouble.
Simon, I feel like this one probably sits somewhere in between. You know, I don't think anyone's saying it's a sporting scandal and it's outrageous and it can't be allowed to happen, but also not sure it's like entirely irrelevant. I get where people are coming from.
Yeah.
It should be, if there are multiple teams who can get into the top six on the final day, you want them all to be playing at the same time.
Yeah.
You don't want any of them in an ideal world, knowing what they need to do or whatever. It just takes a bit of a shine off the competition.
It takes a little bit of the shine off the competition. And you said earlier on the excitement of the fluctuation of the league as the games go. But ultimately, Hibs have to get into that game and win it. That's the mindset, surely, of Nick and his team to get in and win it. He's had a grumble there, but he's, at the end of the interview, he's came back to say, look, we have to focus on winning the game. So it's one of those, it is what it is. We can't change it now. You're not going to have that excitement, but they have to go out and approach it. They're in that position now in seventh because of everything they've done up until then. So they have to go and win the game.
He can't go on about the integrity of the competition because he's in this position where he's clinging on by his fingertips because he doesn't win enough matches.
I know, but I still feel like they are slightly separate issues, though. Everybody knows why they're there. I don't think Nick Montgomery's saying we are unfairly in seventh. I don't think that's what he's trying to say. It's just that they trail Dundee by a point. Let's say Hibs beat Motherwell at Fir Park. Hibs go on to 41 points.
Yep.
Say Dundee then, get a point against Aberdeen, and then Hibs, they just don't know if they've done enough yet until they have to sit back and watch Dundee play on Wednesday night.
Then the argument is the ball's in Dundee's court. They know what they need to do. Is that what you're saying?
Don't get me wrong. I think also the fact that it's a game against Rangers and people maybe don't expect Dundee to get anything. It's just the principle of it. You just want the teams to all go in.
You do, of course.
With simultaneous kickoff times. That's why they do it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And as I said, we should all be sitting there tomorrow. You guys will be in the studio. You should be sitting there, and it should
be the stand table and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The easy way around it,
but it's not, and they can't take that away from how Hibs or Motherwell or Dundee, for that matter, approach the game tomorrow.
I think for Motherwell it's even easier because they're eighth. They simply have to win. There's a lot that there's really nothing else. They need other results to go their way. After the week Dundee have had and the bashing that they've had, they can blow all this out the water. They go beat Aberdeen tomorrow. Yeah. They're in the top six, and that's it, done and dusted. That's what they'll be trying to do.
Well. Therefore, at 3 o'clock tomorrow, they all know what they have to do. Just take care of yourself, and like any other Saturday, you then ask, how did Dundee get on?
We have to wait until Wednesday, that's the point.
If Dundee win...
Obviously, if they don't do their own job, then it doesn't matter.
Let's bring in Billy, who's in Dundee. How are you, Billy?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I don't know. I've missed a couple of nights once you're scoreboard because of personal reasons. But anyway, look, I don't know if this has been brought up before, but I mean, I'm from Dundee. I live about half a mile from Nairns and Tannadice. Now, it was raining at the beginning of the week. It was. But, I mean, I wouldn't describe it as lashing down at any time. It was persistent. I mean, I wouldn't describe it as lashing at anything. I've got a back garden that's just pure grass at the back. I do it six meters before meters. And I mean, on Wednesday night, I went out there and it was a bit different, you know what I mean? But the point I want to make is, I won't oversimplify this when I say this, but if Dundee groundsmen had put waterproof covers over the pitch, how did the rain get through them? I didn't understand that.
Yeah, Billy, struggling to hear you, but I think Billy was saying his garden was fine and he went out and checked it, and he lives in Dundee, which might well be the case, but it's... We all saw the pictures coming in from Dens. That pitch wasn't playable on Wednesday night. I don't think there's much doubt. Andy Halliday was in on Monday, and although Motherwell won,
what did he say?
He kind of stood by it and said that he still doesn't think it should have been on. And he's kind of said, you know, we're happy we won because then it doesn't sound like sour grapes. Yep. We won the game. Don't think it should have been on.
Yeah.
And Hugh, this is the bit that you then just need to almost hand over to ground staff and people who are meant to know more. Billy's speaking on behalf probably of a lot of people, saying how does the rain get through the covers?
Yeah.
But I think this goes back to what we said earlier. The damage for these things is generally, I think, done. Yeah. And you're kind of fighting an uphill battle to try and claw it back from there. That's what it's always looked like with the pitch.
We're now at the stage where Sky Television are filming pitch inspections live. I mean, that is the extent to which we have gone downhill with this one. What's done is done. And we now move on to next Tuesday. If there is a shred of doubt about Dens Park, call the thing off there, get Plan B into operation, and then we'll all know a game is going to take place on Wednesday. There is no other course of action possible for the SPFL. If there is a shadow of doubt on Tuesday, put it off. I mean, Billy means well by coming on and talking about his garden, but if we're going to have people coming on and saying my garden would have been, then no wonder Philippe Clement is looking around him and thinking, where have I landed here?
Thank you to Billy. 01419511025, that is the number you need, and you can give us a call right now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'm delighted to have the show back from the break because Simon Donnelly and I are just fielding questions from Hugh Keevans about the Masters being on TV as to who this guy is and how much do they get for winning. So he's getting all the important questions in, yeah. Simon. Eh?
Yeah,
he's always about the priorities, the cash with this guy.
He's not a golfer, let's say.
He's not. Yeah.
Just need to know, you know.
Was it waste of a good walk? That's what the critics always say, isn't it?
I was watching it last night while Lady Keevans was at the Drifters and, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. What a night I had. The Masters and Liverpool.
What a result that was at Anfield, eh?
Oh, they incredible. Were rubbish. Liverpool were rubbish.
Incredible.
And it benefited you because you got the answer right on Beat the Pundit earlier. We're about to speak to Andy on the line. Let me give you this question first, though.
Full time teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Thank you to Liam and Shettleston for sending this question in tonight, and we would encourage you all to get involved if you fancy it. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. If for some reason you've never heard it before, the aim of the game, you send the question in to us and we test the pundit's knowledge between round about 7:30 and the end of the show. So usually they're hopeless at it. So let's see how they fare tonight. Liam is asking you, since 98, so that's like the start of the SPL era, that's the way to think of it, 7 players have scored more than 80 goals in the Scottish top flight but have never played for Scotland. Can you name them? So since 1998, or the start of the SPL era, 7 players have scored more than 80 goals in the Scottish top flight but have never played for Scotland. Who are they?
Henrik Larsson.
Yeah.
Yep, that's a fairly obvious place to start.
John Hartson.
Correct.
Sutty.
Don't know if Sutty got to 80.
Chris Sutton.
Yeah.
No.
Nacho Novo.
Nope. He's in 73, for what it's worth. I like the new jazzy full-time teaser music we've got. I feel like it changed recently. with regular thanks to Universal Interiors East Kilbride for helping us out.
We're just thinking Celtic Rangers players here. Any Renegades?
Yep.
Right.
Big boy Aberdeen get 80. Rooney? No.
Yes, Adam Rooney, 85. Okay, we'll leave it there and we'll see how you fare between now and the end of the show. Thanks again to Liam and Shettleston. And a reminder, it's full time at Clyde1.com. Let's hear from Andy, who's on the line. How's it going, Andy?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
All good, Andy. All good. I know you're a Celtic fan, Andy. From your perspective, it's all been about, you know, Daizen Maeda tonight and his injury and Mikey Johnson. What are you thinking?
Hey, I think Mikey Johnson's had his shot at Celtic, to be honest with you. I think Daizen Maeda is one of the players that you didn't realise the work that he does until he's not there. The other point I'd like to make as well is that if what Chris Sutton tells you is right regarding the pitch at Dundee not being playable, then it's been agreed that it'll be played at Ibrox. Does that not have the same integrity issues as we have with, you know, for instance, you know, Hibs and Motherwell saying, well, the integrity of Scottish football is beginning to suffer because of the pitch?
Sure.
You know,
to be frank, Andy, Chris Sutton put that in with absolutely no substantive evidence at all. He did it in typical Chris fashion. It got everybody going, but there was never any prospect of it going to Ibrox. Never.
Well, look, to be fair, if we fast forward next week, if this game gets played at Ibrox, I would expect loads of calls along Andy's vein, to be fair, Simon. As it stands, I don't think that's... I think the number one priority is Dens Park. I think alternative venues, when they say that, they're looking at other stadia. I don't know if nearby is the right word, because it doesn't quite cover it. You know, with VAR, they'd be looking at those types of things. I don't think there's a realistic suggestion now that it goes to Ibrox.
No, I think he's probably thrown a wee grenade in there.
Does he do that?
Now and again. But you know something, I think maybe further down the line it might be suitable punishment, you know, for if this was to happen. Like, hopefully it doesn't, obviously, but if it was to happen again.
Chris Sutton's the best in the business at doing that kind of thing, but
maybe he's
Andy,
right. You. Maybe he's right. Then you'll be eating your words on next week.
We know the contingency plan.
No, we don't.
Well, we know that a variety of grounds, St Mirren, St Johnston, Hibs, have been put on red alert. But if they were going to switch it to Ibrox, we'd know about it by now, because we know the kind of fallout that would come from that decision. But
yeah, Andy, that it does sound like the type of news that would give me a real headache on this show. So let's cross that bridge when we come to it. Does that seem fair?
No, absolutely. It's just, you know what it was? It was, you know, you accused me probably about 6 weeks ago of being rather disrespectful when I said, look, guys should give Peter Lowell a break, because I think I mentioned something about guys slipping burgers trying to tell a man how to win or how to run a multi-million pound business. So I think it's quite disrespectful to think that it's okay for the bottom six to have the same issues with Dundee, but no, the top six.
No, I said...
Well, I agree with you on that, Andy.
Well, I stand my ground on that. We have priorities.
No, but Hugh, honestly, the use of that word, I know what you're saying about eyeballs on it. The top six isn't more important than the bottom six. That's not the way it works. I know there's a title race, but you're talking about clubs who might get relegated. That might cause them to go into oblivion, you know, never to be seen again. The top six, it's football's a meritocracy. You deserve to be in the top six. You get the riches that come with it. It doesn't mean the top six is a priority over the bottom six.
There's one reason why Sky Television cover our game, and it's Celtic and Rangers.
But again, I think that's just an entirely different issue. This notion that because Dundee's pitch is bad, stick them in the bottom six rather than the top six. That's just not the way competition works.
The winner of the title will go and get the Champions League riches, which will be even greater than the Champions League riches were this season. It's also our flagship competition. I'm saying there is a scale. We talk about football being a meritocracy. There is a scale, and it begins with the title winners' entry to the Champions League. It then takes in European participation, which clubs revel in, even though they're not very good at it. And on we go. And
No, but that's the scale of prizes that are handed out. It's not the scale of priority, though.
Well, were you telling me then that the relegation issue is the number one issue that we should concern ourselves with?
Didn't say that, but I said every issue has to be treated relatively equally. It comes back to your point. You're the one that's making the claim, so I don't need to prove anything. I'm just defending what you're saying. The notion that because Dundee's pitch is bad, you can stick them in the bottom six where it's not as important as the top six. That is unfair.
I'm saying that Dundee's pitch has the potential to make Scottish football look a laughing stock.
Yeah, but it can be a laughing stock if it gets a team relegated in the same way as the title race. That's the point. Everybody's got their own battle to fight.
I remain convinced that in all walks of life there's an order of priorities. And for me, the television contract that we have with Sky Television, their main priority is Celtic and Rangers.
Right, but the television cameras might have to broadcast a Dundee game if it's a relegation decider.
Yeah, they'll do it.
So what difference does that make then?
Well, they'll do it because they have to. But their real thrill with regard to Scottish football is the 1.4 million who watched the game at Ibrox last week.
I still don't get how that means that you can just stick... It's better to have Dundee in the bottom six than the top. I don't think it makes any difference.
Well,
they still need to play the same amount of games.
We'll have to agree to differ.
No, but you've not gone even close to backing it up, though. You've just you've given a separate point.
Backing it up, I believe that's the
by
most
telling
important
us,
thing.
By telling us that the title race is important, I genuinely think you're just conflating two separate issues. What does that prove about why Dundee would be better off in the bottom six? We know the title race is important. Water's wet.
When Ross County are playing St Johnstone, I hope you'll all be very happy watching it.
But again, nobody's saying that. You're doing that thing where you're putting words in people's mouths. Nobody's saying that.
I said it.
Right, okay. Andy, you might be able to interpret better than me.
I think there is an actual easier solution to punish Dundee. This is one that I got for Chris Sutton. Why don't we make it a one each draw? That way Dundee have lost 2 points for no having a game on.
Well, that's where did you get this from, Chris Sutton?
I'm just saying that's something he would say, Hughie, didn't he?
Andy's
clearly you understand that that's ludicrous, and therefore we need to look for meaningful solutions.
Well, is there any psychology, Andy? We do sometimes dive into this stuff. About the fact that Rangers could have gone top the other night. They then had to pass that opportunity up because the game was off. Celtic can then stretch their advantage tomorrow before Rangers play on Sunday. Do you buy into that stuff?
Well, actually, the last time I was on, I had said to Hugh that Rangers didn't have the ability to beat Celtic, and he said it was ludicrous. He said it was off my head.
I don't think I would say you are off your head. I think I'll listen back to the programme, but I don't think, and I think you'll know yourself, I didn't say you were off your head.
Andy, I'm starting to wonder if this call is just about settling old scores. Can we talk about something like that's happening now, if you don't mind?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Do you think that the point I was going to get to was that I don't think it would matter whether Rangers beat Dundee or didn't beat Dundee. Celtic will win the league because they've got 4 games out of 6 at home. And if I said to you at the start of the season, you've got 6 games to win the league, you've got to win 4 at home, which include Hearts and Rangers, and go away to Kilmarnock, go away to St Mirren. If you actually go and beat these two guys to win the league, then you'll win the league. Then if Celtic don't win the league on that basis, then they don't deserve to win the league.
I think it depends what type of person you are. Ultimately, this is not allowing for the quirks of the split where you might need to shuffle, but you play 38 games, 19 home, 19 away. Team with the most points at the end wins the league. So some people don't bother about the order of the fixtures, but for others, you know, you talk about, you know, rather having points on the board and not having added pressure of when your rivals play first.
If we're now focusing on the title running, Andy says they're quite rightly Celtic, they've got the 4 games at home, but I said last week the psychological wedge, you could look at it from that point of view. Celtic have got the game at Celtic Park now. I said if they could get away from Ibrox unscathed, and meaning that not getting beat, obviously.
No, I mean, in the context of the postponement, though, you know that Rangers would have had visions of going into the weekend as being top.
I mean, the Rangers fans out there will say we wanted to get to the top of the pile. Celtic will look at it as they can stretch it tomorrow before Sunday and put the pressure on Rangers. You can argue both ways. They need to go and win their games.
Yeah, we all love mind games and the psychological.
I mean, they're talking about if Dundee get in the top six, are they going to take it any easier against Rangers next week? I don't think players think that way.
The first thing is Celtic have got to beat St Mirren tomorrow, and by so doing, they guarantee that even if Rangers beat Ross County, they're still not top, and that's a nice psychological advantage for Celtic as they then go into the post-split games. But you know, Gordon, as soon as the fixtures are released and Celtic are at Kilmarnock on the last day of the season, they'll be complete. Ah, they're sending Celtic to come. Ah, what's that all about? But this is the next grand tradition that we have to observe.
Do you know something we don't know?
I am told, Chris Sutton told me that Celtic are at Kilmarnock on the last day of the season.
Thank you to Andy. Michael is a St Mirren fan. Michael, you'll be used to this build-up being dominated by what Celtic and Rangers can and can't do. Let's talk about your team, because they're having a brilliant season. Can they get something tomorrow?
Yes. I want to stay positive about tomorrow's game.
Go for it.
I know it's going to be very difficult. They're a top team, obviously the best team in Scotland right now. However, I think St Mirren are just a wee bit... I don't know if they've got enough confidence. They've got the players there, but I think they just need to feed into their own mentality and find that confidence. And these guys have got a good pool of players, and I think they could maybe pull something off. I don't actually know.
Yeah, Hugh, I said great season to Michael, and I mean that because of the bigger picture, the old cliche. You offer St Mirren fifth place at the start of the season, they take your hand off, it's back-to-back top six. That should be celebrated. The mini-run, I don't think, would delight Stephen Robinson. We all know the drama which ensued in the 5-2 defeat at Kilmarnock, losing at home to Hearts team missing Lauren Shanklin last time out. That was then a bittersweet day because top six was secured on the day that the defeat was handed out on the day. So what do you think tomorrow?
I do think the topical subject dies in mayhem. Not being there is a lift for St Mirren and a bad thing for Celtic. They do have the capacity to go to Celtic Park tomorrow thinking, well, we are nailed on, we're in the top six, we can just play our football here. I just had a little look at the league table. Last five games, St Mirren, one win in the last five. But I agree with Michael. I think that they can go there and there's no reason why they can't look forward to the game with a degree of optimism. I'd be mad that even I wouldn't say that St Mirren are favourites to win tomorrow, but I certainly don't rule out the possibility of St Mirren, for example, getting a draw.
Can you still finish fourth, Michael?
Yeah, I think they could. I really do. I've also got a wee story. I don't know if you've got enough time.
Go on, make it fast.
So back when St Mirren actually won the Scottish Cup years ago, players like Tony Fitzpatrick, Billy Abercrombie, Suchnot, Paul Lambert, I was there at the Cup final when they actually won. Basically, cut long story short, I didn't actually know this until a few years ago. My dad actually told me that he got me a Dundee United ticket for the game. The whole reason was because the guy that owned a pub in Paisley's son played for Dundee United.
Who was it?
My dad, I think his name was Billy McKinley.
Oh, aye, Badger.
And so you were in. You were behind enemy lines. Honestly.
So I was sitting there.
1987, Ian Ferguson.
87, yeah.
When Ian Ferguson scored a goal.
Alex Smith was the
still the last cup final. What's the fact that survives the test of time about that?
Of that final?
The last Scottish Cup final where both teams in their entirety were Scottish.
Yeah.
That'd be right.
Well, it was advertised like as the people's final.
Yeah, there we go. Big game that tomorrow, because obviously title race, but St Mirren will be looking at it and saying if we're going to catch Kilmarnock and fourth, that, you know, probably can't afford the combination of Celtic winning and Kilmarnock winning. That would stretch it to 8 points, I think, wouldn't it? So anyway, thank you to Michael. We'll get the rest of the answers to the full-time teaser next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Hugh Keevans are here. It's the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, where hopefully tomorrow There's just a focus on games actually taking place and things being won and lost. We really look forward to it. You've got some big tasks of your own ahead though, because on the teaser tonight we're asking you for seven players since the start of the SPL era, 98, who've scored more than 80 goals in the Scottish top flight but never played for Scotland. Henrik Larsson, John Hartson and Adam Rooney so far.
Tavernier.
No.
I thought.
Not league.
89 league goals for Rangers.
But not all in the Premier.
10 in the Championship. So what's he got? He's got one. He's got one more to get.
Michael Moles.
No, 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 no.
Stokes.
Anthony Stokes. Yes, 102. Of course, scored them for Hibs as well as Celtic.
As many we've got? Four.
Yeah, three to get. Here's a clue I'll give you. There's another one very much in the Anthony Stokes mould of scored a lot of goals for Celtic, but also scored a lot of goals for someone else.
Should get up.
Yes, you should. Scored some really significant, famous goals.
Scott McDonald.
Scott McDonald. Well done. Okay, two to get. Much harder. One's a bit sneaky, I would say, just based on some of the discussions we've already had, but I will leave that there. Matthew wants to throw in Morelos as well, but no, not quite. I think 78 for him, so it doesn't quite fall into that category. And if you like the sound of this, you want to get involved, you want to hear the pundits scramble for the answers to your question, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. There we are. All right, the actual fixtures this weekend. We had a brief look at Celtic against St Mirren just before the break. Hearts Livy, is that as straightforward as it looks on paper?
Must be.
Livy at Tynecastle. Livy gone.
Yeah.
Livy have gone.
Home one.
They won three games all season.
9 points back.
Nah.
Impossible.
No.
Nah. All playing each other.
No chance.
Nah. I don't even believe it myself. I'm just trying.
No chance.
Nah. It's been nice while it lasted, but cheerio.
Sorry, Davey, if you're listening. Well, we all know the Aberdeen-Dundee scenario. It's really straightforward for Dundee. I think this is their chance to almost do their talking on the pitch, so to speak, and you know, forget all your talk about sporting integrity or advantage. Dundee win, beat Aberdeen, they've got the top six. Doesn't matter what happens on Wednesday. And Aberdeen's situation continues to be interesting. Because, well, Peter Leaven's still in charge. It now looks like we do know, though, who the new man's going to be.
I think if I was Tony Docherty, I'd be saying in the dressing room, everyone wants us to fail now because of matters out with our control. There's your cause. Go out and fight for it. Would that work for you, Sam?
That would work for me. Good team talk.
You should be a manager.
Good team talk. Listen, it would just be like it after all the story of the pitch getting up to Pittodrie. And the debate of should they need the game next Wednesday, it would be just like Dundee to go and get a result. However, I don't see it. I think Aberdeen will get the win. I think Peter Leavens went in there. Is it 7 out of 9, did you say there?
Yeah, 7 points from 9, yeah.
I think Aberdeen will win tomorrow and prolong it.
It's easy to forget that a really good football match, entertainment-wise, took place on the Dundee pitch last week. 2-0 up, 17 minutes to go.
Incredible.
Motherwell 1-3-2, so I suppose we saw the best and worst of Dundee, really. See,
they took off Andy Halliday, Motherwell, at 2-0.
That's the secret.
And they 1-3-2. He'd be a 22 for me.
Second blow.
He's a 66 rated computer game player, believe me. Like the battle for the, or to avoid, I should say. We're not battling to get into the relegation playoffs. The battle to avoid it is a really interesting one. Ross County are currently there on 27 points.
And they'll stay there.
Well, you know, on paper, Rangers would be huge favourites to make sure Ross County stay on 27. They might not. So St Johnstone, already 4 points of an advantage there. A home game against Kilmarnock. A big chance for St Johnstone to
push. It is. And they've picked up points here and there. I do believe, and listen, Ross County and Livingston will be happy because my predictions are usually... But I think those two will be the two. I don't think any of them will catch... What's above them?
The thing about Kilmarnock going to Perth, they have been fantastically consistent. And Derek McInnes deserves every word of praise that comes his way. When Celtic go there on the final day of the season, it's going to be some afternoon.
Stop it. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting, that St Johnstone and Ross County. So you, definitely them. No Aberdeen, no Motherwell.
Not a chance.
Not a chance, says Hugh Keevans and Simon Donnelly. Which does leave us the one that's the kind of the head-to-head for the top six, but not really, because as we know, Dundee are involved. But Motherwell, Hibs, remarkable to think, Hugh, that Motherwell are even in with a chance, yeah, given where they were a couple of months ago.
And equally remarkable to think that, that Nick Montgomery was brought in and that he was going to be the man who was going to turn things around, and he hasn't. 28 games played, 8 wins. It's a big afternoon for him, because the Hibs supporters are, you know, I was going to say tetchy with him. They're more than that. Last weekend, lost 2-1 at home to St Johnstone. The boos at the end told their own story. That, for me, is drama central tomorrow. Fir Park, Motherwell, Hibs.
It still feels like, well, caveat by saying, Simon, for Hibs fans, they're the ones with the emotion, they're the ones that are paying, they're way more entitled to their opinion than us.
Yeah.
So they're allowed to be. If they're done with Nick Montgomery and this team and they think it's not going anywhere fast, they're entitled to. You do see them sometimes though, and you just think, oh, are they quite close to being onto a good thing? They've got some good attacking players in. Nick Maialida has been excellent. You look at some of the moments that they string together going forward. Is it just that he needs a bit more time to get the defensive options in to really mould the team in his image?
Possibly.
Or is he running out of that time?
Possibly, but the volatility of management and football and getting
it's
time.
Tough,
I think Hibs have to be at minimum in that top six. You know, that's the minimum for them. And the fact at the moment they're struggling with it, and I don't even, to get beat off St Johnstone at home and looking at Motherwell will get 3 wins. I think Motherwell will get the result tomorrow at home.
Well, it could be a big night in the Championship as well. It's very much advantage Dundee United now, after the last few results there at Capello. Not sure it's the type of night you'd want to stand on that terracing behind the goal at Capello, but it's goalless. As things stand. Right, let's round off this teaser before we go. 7 players with more than 80 goals in the top flight since the start of the SPL era, but have never played for Scotland: Henrik Larsson, Scott McDonald, Anthony Stokes, Adam Rooney and John Hartson. I should say that it's just that they're not Scottish. It's not like there's anyone on here who's Scottish, but just hasn't been good enough to represent Scotland, if that makes sense. Maybe worded it strangely.
Okay.
2 to get.
Is that a Rangers player?
No, these are both non-Old Firm players. One of them played for loads of teams: Hearts, St Mirren, Dundee, Motherwell, best of all. You'd mentioned his brother incorrectly.
Oh yeah, Sutton.
John Sutton.
John Sutton
is on there. 95 for him.
Wow.
And the last one, very good, experienced goal getter, most notably with Inverness:
Mackay.
Billy Mackay.
Wow.
83 for him. Well done. Thank you, Simon Donnelly. Thank you, Hugh Keevans. But as always, the biggest thanks really does go to you. Thank you for listening. For those of you who take the time every night to call and tweet and share your thoughts, it is never taken for granted. Much appreciated again this week. And what a weekend we have in store. Make sure you join us tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson will be alongside Hugh as we go through all the weekend's biggest talking points. And in the meantime, I've got just the man for your Friday night. The GBX is up next.